Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is a special edition of On Point, broadcasting across the United States
and across the UK on BBC Radio 5 Live with Nahal Arthur-Nika and me, Sarah Brett.
2016 has been a wild, unconventional political year for the British taking the Brexit, and definitely for Americans with the contest of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for the U.S. presidency. The whole world is watching. The BBC asked if we'd like to link our audiences today, American and British, to talk about what's going on in the presidential race. We said yes. This hour, we're looking at the politics of 2016, and we're opening our BBC and NPR phone lines to listeners in the U.S. and the U.K. simultaneously. We want to hear from you, listeners on both sides of the Atlantic. British listeners, welcome. What do you want to ask our American listeners about what's unfolding in American politics this year? How do Trump and Clinton look to you? And American listeners, what do you want to tell BBC listeners looking on from abroad? What do you want to ask them about how it looks from there?
Now, if you are in the UK, you can call us on 0500 909 693 or text 85058.
And if you're in the US, we are at 1-800-423-TALK. That's 800-423-8255. You can also tweet us at On Point Radio or leave a comment on our website or on Facebook, where we are streaming on Facebook Live.
And as ever, 5 Live listeners, of course, you can tweet us via BBC 5 Live. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Tom.
To BBC 5 Live. Great to have you here.
It's wonderful to be with both of you. They're in London. Do you do this every day?
We're in Manchester.
You're in Manchester.
Actually.
Excuse me. I'm Manchester. Getting my geography down.
That's all right. So just to get this kind of going, Tom, I mean, we just spoke to our own correspondent, Gary Donahue,
right,
who said, actually, that without doubt, this is the nastiest political campaign he has ever seen, having covered British general elections and now this US presidential election. Would you see it as the same, as the nastiest in your memory?
I can't compare it to British electoral politics, but in American electoral politics, and especially in the last, 4 or 5 days, as these allegations of sexual harassment, abuse, assault have come out, and WikiLeaks pouring out with alleged help from Moscow, it is nasty. It is in kind of unprecedented territory, I think, for mm-hmm. Americans, even those who have seen many, many election cycles.
What's the most common thing, Tom, that people say when they phone in? What is the most common thread of conversation that you hear on your program?
I mean, it all depends who's calling in. You know, this country has a lot of people who support Donald Trump. He won the Republican primary. It has a lot of people who support Hillary Clinton and are appalled, astonished by Donald Trump. Trump supporters look at Clinton and say, look at her background. This is kind of establishmentarian politics, and we've had enough of it. They say much worse than that as well. Clinton supporters say, Trump, he's a billionaire with no experience in politics whatsoever, never been elected to office. And he's made comments that are widely construed as racist, misogynist, highly nationalist, and so on. And we're talking about electing him to the highest office in the land. There's a kind of anger on one side, dismay on the other, and that comes through every day.
That number here is 0500-909-693 if you're ringing 5 Live. David in Poole's pipped the post. He's got there first. What did you want to say, David?
Yeah, you beat the Americans, David.
All right.
Hello, is it Tom I'm talking to?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
hi.
Indeed.
Hi.
Yes, hello, Tom. Tom, let me just say, first of all, that I admire the USA and the people of America, probably second only to the people of my own country.
Thanks.
And I've always found them to be anchored and hard-headed and, you know, grounded. And I can't understand why they seem to be being distracted by all this focus on Donald Trump's character flaws, however big or small you think they are. When looking from outside, when I assess the two candidates, it's a case of an ordinary human being who has flaws, a non-professional politician who has many good ideas about how to run the country, whether it's a business or otherwise, against someone who's made a a lifelong profession of deceiving a country and hiding who she really is, a bit like the whole political establishment.
Well, so you're solid for Trump there in the UK, David. It is David, right?
Yes, that's right.
Where does that put you on the British political spectrum? Does that make you a Tory? Does that make you a Brexit supporter? Or I have no idea.
Well, we have had a similar situation, I believe, to the one here, to the one that you have there now. We have got fed up with the political establishment. We've got fed up with them taking us in a direction we don't want to go in. We've got fed up with them looking after their own careers and futures and ignoring us. So we, in not a general election, but obviously in the EU referendum recently, came out in support, really, of a cause, but a cause that was led by one, again, ordinary non-political man, Nigel Farage. You may have heard of him.
Of course, he's been over here. He's been in the middle of our politics this year. Very, very unusual that as well. And you're saying go for Trump, and you can't understand why people are upset by the sex allegations. I mean, I can't speak for all Americans. I will put them on. You'll talk with them directly in just a second here. But you do have people saying, is this a role model that we want? First of all, is this the kind of character that we want in the White House, the critics say? And is this a role model for Americans, for American youth in particular? David, stand by. I'll let you speak directly to an American calling us right now from Texas. Nathan is calling from Austin, Texas. Nathan, thanks. You're on with David in the UK. Thanks for joining us, Nathan.
Hi, guys.
Nathan, David is asking Nathan why anybody would be upset by the allegations of sexual harassment, abuse, assault against Donald Trump. We've got bigger fish to fry, he's saying, from the UK. What do you think?
As the father of two young daughters, the thought of anybody grabbing them in an inappropriate way and then bragging about it because they're famous, they're rich, whatever, is just an absolute turnoff. I don't know if he has kids, our British caller, if he has kids. But, I mean, that right there in itself is he's assassinating his own character by things he's done in the past. And to his comment about her deceiving the country for her entire career, I personally don't believe that. I think she has many, many, many flaws. But at the same time, she has spent her entire adult life in the service of the public, and has done a lot of good. Our country improved under her husband's
leadership. Nathan, sorry to interrupt you. This is Nihal from the BBC here. I'd just like to know, though, did it not resonate with you when Donald Trump was talking about how Hillary Clinton treated the women who accused her husband of the things that he had done? Did it not strike you as someone who is claiming to be a feminist in the way that she attacked those women?
I'll be honest with you, nothing that man says at this point resonates with me because everything he says is from a vengeful, vitriolic standpoint. If that man is elected, he is going to wreak such a case of revenge on everybody. Paul Ryan on down, even on his own party, they're eating their own. And I guarantee you, you will wake up to the headline one day that Donald Trump dropped a nuclear bomb on somewhere because they made him mad.
Nathan, I would like you to talk to David. I'd like you to talk to David so you can have a chat to each other. David,
and we hear your daughters there in Texas, Nathan. We hear that. Yeah. They're right there with you. We've got it.
All of them. Go ahead, David. What do you want to say to Nathan?
Nathan, hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hello? Nathan, first of all, I'd say I understand your point about role models, but please realize you're not voting for a nanny or a teacher for your children. You're voting for someone to run the country. With all the candidates you have on offer, there's a sense in which you have to hold your nose. We're never going to get anything like, in these days, a perfect candidate. But secondly, it's not just Trump.
Are we going to vote for somebody who has declared what? Four or five bankruptcies, has never met a business he can't destroy, a man that basically thinks of women as objects, who has threatened and promised to take political revenge on somebody that he disagrees with. Is that what we want as the leader of the free world?
I'd like to stop you for a second. One moment. 850-58 is the text number, 0500-909-693. Get in contact with us from the UK side because we have a British caller, of course. David, thank you for that, backing Trump. And we have someone in Texas, Nathan, backing Clinton. Bill has called in from Cambridge. Bill, good afternoon.
Hello there, yeah?
Now, you can ask Nathan a question, because you have a very relevant question for someone who's a Clinton supporter, don't you, Bill?
Well, what we found was that we had no plan B, and I wondered if Nathan thought he had a plan B.
Bill, do you mean after the Brexit vote? Is that what you mean, Bill? Or what?
Yeah, we had no plan B after the referendum, and we were completely in limbo. This really applies as much to the government as to the voters, because the voters vote with their hearts, of course. But they still need a plan.
Yeah, I think Nathan is off the air, but let me bring in Kate in Harrisonburg, Virginia, to respond, if I may, Bill. Kate, you're on the air with Bill in Cambridge in the UK, and he's wondering about the United States the day after a Trump victory, if it were that transpired.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Tom. So I personally, I'm queer. I'm a polyamorous single mom of a child of color. There is a lot that a Trump presidency can do to harm me personally and my family. My younger son asks me regularly if we can move to Canada. I mean, we don't have a plan B.
That's a plan. That's a plan.
It's honestly, I guess, but I'm
drastic.
The single mom part actually does affect the ability to move. But it's an honestly terrifying idea. And one thing that I think that needs to keep being brought up while everybody is outraged with the sexist remarks. And I mean, it was sexual assault. That's what non-consensual touching is. It's assault. While we discuss that, we have to continuously bring up his racism. He is racist and xenophobic, and he is a danger to communities of color. And while we discuss this as white people, it is an entirely different conversation for people who have already been harmed by his words and his supporters, but who will be harmed under a Trump presidency, absolutely will be harmed.
Kate in Virginia, Bill in Cambridge in the UK. We'll keep your question on Plan B in mind. Trump victory or Clinton victory, for that matter. Sarah Brett and Nihal Artanak, it's great to be with you guys across the pond. This is really interesting. Do you get this kind of conversation every day about American politics on your air?
But we do get equally feisty conversations about British politics, so it's wonderful to have the two coming on together, Tom. It's unique.
We'll forge right on in. The number to call from the UK is 0500-909-693. In the US, 1-800-423-8255. This is On Point in the US and BBC Radio's Five Lives Afternoon Edition in the UK. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Afternoon edition on BBC Radio 5 Live with Nihal Artanaker and Sarah Brett.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point in the USA.
And we want your calls, your texts. We want to get British callers and American callers speaking to each other. That is the whole point of this. It's your chance to speak directly to American voters. Can you understand the anger of so many Americans? Are you worried or hopeful about the prospect of President Donald Trump or President Hillary Clinton taking control of the White House? And how has the election changed how you think of the world's most powerful nation? Like I said, 0500 909 693 is the number to call if you're in the UK, or you can text us on 85058.
American listeners, we are on live today with the BBC out of Manchester, UK, but across the country there. You can join us as well, of course. What do you want to tell the British about what's going on here in the US politically? What's your question for BBC listeners right now in the UK? You can call us at 800-423-TALK. That's 800-423-8255. Or tweet us at On Point Radio, or leave us a Facebook comment at On Point Radio. We're on Facebook Live right now. You can watch this unfolding. Of course, the candidates themselves, Sarah and Nihal, have talked about the global implications of their victory or loss, have talked about how the world sees what's going on here, have talked about what their priorities are. Let's listen just a little. In the first debate between Clinton and Trump in September, Hillary Clinton turned to the camera and, really speaking abroad, tried to reassure American allies.
I know that this campaign has caused some questioning and some worries on the part of many leaders across the globe. I've talked with a number of them, but I want to, on behalf of myself and I think on behalf of a majority of the American people, say that, you know, our word is good.
word of reassurance there from the Democratic Party candidate, but from the Republican at the convention in July. Here was Donald Trump saying, America must come first.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
The respect that we deserve, Donald Trump saying there. Sarah, now how does that kind of line play in the UK?
Well, let's find out. We've got Ed in Bath who wants to ask this of Americans. Who do you think America's enemies are? Is that right, Ed? Is that the question that you want to ask?
I've got lots of questions, Sarah.
All right, Ed, bring them on. Bring it on, Ed.
We can get started with that one. So if you can find someone, Tom, who can tell me who America's enemies are.
I'll put you in touch with Craig, who's on the line with us here in the U.S. from Michigan, Inkster, Michigan. Craig, thanks for joining us. You hear our caller from the U.K. asking, who are America's enemies these days?
Oh, that I couldn't tell you. I actually, my comment was basically that, in my opinion, the president nowadays is more of a figurehead than anything. If you look at Obama's administration, he couldn't get anything done. The Congress and the Senate run anything, everything. So in that sense, Trump can run his mouth and say what the American public want the world to hear and have absolutely no effect on anything because running the country isn't in what he's doing.
But we've got a presidential system with an awful lot of executive authority. I mean, once he's in the White House, there's a lot he can do. We've been told he can tear up trade deals. He's certainly commander-in-chief. That puts the American military at his command. That's not nothing, is it, Craig?
Well, I don't think he can do that stuff without all on his own. And the people under him aren't going to let him do it. And the Congress and the Senate's going to control him.
So does that leave you for him or against him, Craig? Where do you come down?
I'm voting for Trump because he says what I believe, that he says a lot of stuff that we need to do. Now, it's going to be next to impossible to do any of it, but...
Ed, now you've got a Trump supporter in Craig from Michigan on the line. What else would you like to ask him?
Crikey. Why is he particularly a Trump supporter at this point in time? Is he someone who feels angry and dispossessed? Is it a protest vote? Or is he a lifelong Republican?
Craig?
No, I'm a lifelong independent. I vote for whoever's going to do the best, or in my opinion, do the best. I'm not a party affiliate. And I just believe that Trump is saying what most of America feels.
What is it that you feel? What is it that you feel that he's saying, Craig?
That we have too much. I work in the construction industry, and we're decimated. I've lost one business due to illegals who can undercut me and underbid me and just kill me.
You mean immigrants from abroad? Yep. Okay.
Yes.
You believe in the wall, do you? Building the wall, Craig? Do you believe in building the wall?
If that takes building a wall as a symbol, yes. But in essence, I don't know if a wall will do anything because you find ways in and out as it is. I live in Detroit. Canada's right across the river. You can almost throw a rock across the river, and it's easy to get in and out. So as far as building a wall, I don't know if that's going to work. But
Ed, what do you say? We know that anti-immigrant sentiment, we think it was a big deal in the Brexit vote as well. Do you recognize that sentiment from your UK experience?
I recognize from the UK experience that the fundamental flaw with giving us an in-out referendum for Europe was during a time of austerity in the UK. And when people are going through hard times, it's more likely to evoke strong feelings and passion. And, I mean, history has shown that pre-World War II Germany, it was on its knees. And so either communism or fascism was going to rise. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a fascist, but Nathan did speak of this man's acting in revenge. And that does concern me because if you look at the footage of when Barack Obama basically humiliated him at, I can't remember what the function was, but when Donald Trump had questioned Barack Obama's
place of birth. I think I'm wondering if since then Trump has just thought, right, then I'm going to get my own back on these people and the people that they represent within, I suppose, the what he perceives as the political elite. Now, Craig, his location is interesting because what you've got is North Korea punching their chests at the moment. They're testing short and medium range missiles. Now, if they were able to test long range missiles effectively, then a long-range missile could theoretically make its way to Washington on the west coast of America. Now,
east coast, but all right. What's your point with that, Ed?
My point with that is, do you want your commander-in-chief to be Donald Trump? Where they could, you know, does even the most ardent supporter of Trump feel comfortable with the idea of him being commander-in-chief when in the days of modern warfare rhetoric, you know, people can make preemptive strikes. I mean, it does worry me that this man would have the power that he would have at his hands.
Craig, there you are in Detroit. How about it? Donald Trump as commander-in-chief. Are you comfortable with that? Our caller from the UK asks.
Okay. I do not truly believe that the president can act totally on his own to do something like that. I don't believe that the top of the country runs like that. We haven't been in a situation where a president can walk in a room and just punch in a code and do a button. I just don't believe that we're in a situation like that where one man has total and absolute control over all our nuclear arms and all our armed forces and everything without people underneath him being able to have a say and control that situation.
Craig, I hate to tell you, but you know, he is the commander-in-chief and it has real actual operational meaning. And when it comes to nuclear codes, over time, the belief was that the response would have to be very quick, and the president has enormous power. He could be lobbied right, left, and center by the military and everything else, but he's got the football, as they call it. Sarah, now, may I put on a caller from Atlanta, Georgia? David
would
is calling
to hear
in.
Them.
Yeah, hi, David. You're on to the UK.
Hey, David.
Hi
David.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I think that the caller from Michigan makes a really contradictory point. He says that he doesn't believe that the president has enough authority or power to make some kind of irrational decision like, launching nuclear weapons or something like that. But he thinks that Donald Trump, as an outsider and a non-politician, has the authority or the power to totally change the course of the nation in opposition to who he sees as all the Washington insiders in Congress and Senate. It seems to be a really contradictory position, and that's something that I see a lot in Trump's support is a lot of cognitive dissonance, a lot of, it's okay that Trump is, you know, constantly being accused of criminal activities, sexual assault, fraudulent business practices and stuff like this. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be a bad leader. But I think that Hillary Clinton is a liar, so she would be a bad leader. A lot of sort of contradiction in terms.
What about the WikiLeaks stuff that's come out against Hillary Clinton, allegedly with Moscow's assistance? Does that shake your confidence on that Clinton front, David?
I don't think that anything totally bizarre came out of that. We knew that she was a corporatist. We know that she's a neoliberal politician. And that's not a lot different than Barack Obama.
Somebody who would like to ask. Last, I'd like to ask you a question. Carol in Poole has rung us here on 5 Live in the UK on 0500 909 693. Poole is in the house today. Carol, you're our second Poole caller. What would you like to ask David?
I'd like to know if Americans would like to take a chance on Donald Trump, just believing that he would actually bring the jobs back into the country and help relieve the unemployment and poverty that's happened the last few years.
Carol, can I ask you, being in the UK, can I ask you, how do you think a President Trump, if that were to happen, would affect us?
In England?
Yes, in the UK, yes. Well, would you be scared? Would you be fearful of that happening?
No, I don't think so, because we've got something to learn, too, from that kind of person. And I just think you can harm people a lot more by removing their jobs and creating poverty than some very not nice comments that he's made. You know, I don't like a lot of that. But it's being polite, being a nice, polite politician and letting jobs go abroad and creating unemployment. I think that's very unkind.
We had some pretty impolite politicians here, Tom. Don't worry about that.
We've seen that. We've seen the coverage of that. I want to throw the question there to a caller from Waterbury, Vermont. We are live on the air with the BBC Radio 5 Live's afternoon edition, putting British callers and American callers together to talk about the very hot politics of 2016. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's go to Matt in Waterbury, Vermont. Matt, thank you for joining us. Do you believe, the caller in the UK asks, that Donald Trump will bring the jobs flooding back to the United States?
Hi. I mainly just want to say that in this election, this is such an important election that it's been distilled down to a very fundamental concept, and that the fact that Hillary Clinton offers stability in this world, and that every country in the world as a whole craves stability. And I think that is one of the most, and really one of the only important aspects of each presidential campaign.
Crave stability, but everybody's talking about this as a change election. Bernie Sanders was about big change. He didn't make it, but it was certainly a lot of popularity among young voters there. Donald Trump talks about change. People may agree or not with what he's proposing, but isn't change in the air, Matt?
There's different types of change. There's positive and negative change. And I think that we need to, if there is a change that needs to happen, which there probably is, we need to head in a positive direction. And I just don't think that's the way to go in this case.
And what about the question from our caller in the UK about Donald Trump's promise to bring jobs flooding back to the United States from abroad? Do you believe it?
No, not at all.
Sarah Nahal, there you have it. Definitive from one caller in Vermont.
Not at all. Not convinced. Matt is not convinced. Stuart in Wilshire is on the phone. Stuart, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Thank you for calling in. 0500 909 693. That is the phone number if you want to speak to our American brothers and sisters with Tom Ashbrook on NPR in America. Stuart, what would you like to say to the American audience?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm 68 years of age. I truly believe that we are closer to the possibility of a third world war than we have ever been in my lifetime. It could be, arguably, hopefully not, but Aleppo could be the trigger point. If either, or shall I say, which of the two presidential candidates in that terrible scenario could we trust to avert at the last minute the possibility of World War III.
Matt in Vermont is still there, is he, Tom?
I think Matt's gone, but we've got Cassandra calling from Georgia. Cassandra, thank you for calling. You're on the air. Did you hear the question? Who do you trust if the chips are down and World War III is in the air, Cassandra?
Certainly, if World War III is about to occur, I want someone who has depth of knowledge, someone who has experience in the area of concern. And there's only one person who fits that description, and that's Hillary Clinton. Trump has neither the temperament nor the depth of understanding about this particular subject, if we're talking specifically about Aleppo. And he demonstrated that in the last debate, where he was unable to, when asked follow-up questions, he was unable to answer those questions. And it was clear he really didn't have a grasp of the situation.
Let me ask you, though. Trump says he'd like to work with Moscow in the Middle East. And he's made very friendly comments about Vladimir Putin. Might he diffuse things rather than ramp them up toward World War III, as the British caller inquires?
I don't think so, because let's remember that in order for us to go to war, you need Congress as well. You know, due to our system of government, we have a systems of checks and balances, and he's not necessarily the only deciding factor. Thank God.
Do you think he's going to be elected, Cassandra?
Absolutely not. I'm an African-American woman. He has done everything that he can to I think run off any possible support from any women, blacks, Hispanics, name any other a group out there, and pretty much he's got near infinitesimal levels of support from any of those groups. And I don't think that if you look at the electoral map, there's no way for him to win.
Cassandra, in Atlanta, Georgia. We're right up against a break here. Forgive me, Nihal.
Oh, that's okay.
And Sarah, there in the UK with the BBC Radio 5 Live's Afternoon Edition. We are on simultaneously with On Point here in the U.S. BBC listeners, what are your questions for American voters? Call us in the UK, 0500-909-693. In the U.S., our On Point listeners, we're at 800-423-8255. What do you want to tell listeners in the UK? I'm Tom Ashbrook with BBC Radio 5 Live's Afternoon Edition and On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
And live from the UK, this is Sarah Brett and me, Nihal Arthur-Naika, with Afternoon Edition on BBC Radio 5 Live.
We have opened up the phones on both sides of the Atlantic today to hear you, American and British listeners, talk about the 2016 election and beyond.
Do you see a common thread between Brexit and the candidacy of Donald Trump? Has this election campaign changed your opinion of the United States? If you're in the UK, you can call us on 0500 909 693. The text is 85058. And if you're in the US, call 1-800-423-TALK. That's 1-800-423-8255.
You can also tweet at us via @onpointradio. Leave a comment on Facebook or on our website, onpointradio.org, or tweet at BBC5Live. Sarah, Nihal, this is pretty great. We've got listeners lined up like crazy here. Are you getting a good response in the UK?
We are absolutely.
Inundated.
We've got loads of texts coming in. Jason in Leeds said, don't be taken down the same path Nigel Farage took the UK. Incite hatred and then walks away. Trump, in my opinion, is only in it for himself. Dave Hewitt said, I believe Hillary is the biggest threat to world peace as she wants to stand against Russia and hold Putin accountable over Syria. Trump wants to work with Russia to find a solution to the appalling situation in Syria. Think that's the better option, don't you?
Tom, have a little listen to this, would
yes.
you? This is Nigel Farage, who's taken, as you well know, to appearing alongside Donald Trump on the campaign trail.
Would you explain his role in the UK in Brexit for the
wow,
American listeners who may not know?
Right.
Where do you start? Yeah, he's in, he's out, he's leader, he's not. UKIP have risen to power quite considerably in the last few
UK
years.
The UK Independence Party, who sort of led the
right.
push for the exit from the
Absolutely.
EU.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And actually succeeded in going from a fringe, really, to being the third biggest party in the UK at the last election, polling 3 million plus votes. Mm-hmm. And he is like Trump. I mean, he knows how to perform. He's got the lyrics.
Charismatic.
He's got he's one of those words who'll drop in a kind of conversational nuclear bomb and then step away and just watch it explode around him.
And he's been in the US campaigning alongside Donald Trump.
He has.
You've got a little tape of Nigel Farage there.
We certainly do, yeah. I mean, he, as you say, UKIP leader, Brexit architect, he says there is definitely a link between the popularity of such an unorthodox candidate and the UK's vote to leave the European Union.
I'm not saying to the American people they should vote for Donald Trump, but what I am saying to them is that, you know, Brexit brings some big lessons for Western politics, and there are some really big direct crossovers between what happened in Brexit and what is happening here in American politics.
Nigel Farage there. We've got Ned asking on Twitter. Maybe one of your listeners can respond. He says, I want to know how a Brit would compare Trump and UKIP or Trump and perhaps Nigel Farage.
Mm. We've got John on the line. I wonder if you can manage that, John, in Ashtead in Surrey. Can you compare the two?
I can start by being truly appalled that I've just heard something from Nigel Farage, which I actually agree with, and that probably answers your question.
Yes,
I
mean, it does.
I'm gobsmacked. The thing is, there are such strict parallels for me. Democracy is too often simply a matter of looking for the least worst. Rarely, Churchill, Obama, Mandela, do we actually find someone who's absolutely right for the job. And it seems to me that in advocating Trump, like those of us who gave us Brexit, it's like lemmings wanting to push inwards, to push others away, turn against humanitarianism, turn against the success we've had in the last part of the 20th century to develop a civilized world. It's just the parallels are truly appalling.
But your countrymen voted for it.
My countrymen might have voted for it. By a swing of 600,000, the population of Widnes and Warrington combined, two small towns in the north of England, it could be anywhere, but it's only tiny, tiny, tiny amounts voted in favour. Some of my countrymen voted for it. Many of them are now reluctant.
Tom in Manchester. Tom, thank you very much indeed for that. But we'll speak to Anne in London now, who is fascinated with Donald Trump. Anne, good afternoon to you. You're speaking to Tom Ashbrook on NPR and also as well, of course, sorry, Anne, you're also speaking, of course, to the American audience. What would you like to say about Donald Trump?
Sure. Can I just correct my name? It's Anna.
Sorry, someone's wrote Anne to me and it says Anna, so I picked the wrong one, sorry.
I think Donald Trump is absolutely fascinating, I really do. In fact, I actually prefer American politics than here in the UK. I think...
why, you know, Anna, why?
Americans I knew that would be controversial. I just love the charisma and, you know, having a voice and being up there and freedom of speech and all the rest of it. And
freedom to grope women, Anna? I mean, that's what
I don't agree with that. Now, no. I obviously wasn't there, so we don't actually know what the reality is. And actually, I would just like to say...
We only know what he said he did.
It was 11 years ago, so who hasn't got one or two skeletons in the cupboard? But it'll be interesting to see what actually happens in just under a month's time.
Anna, stay with us.
Could I put Terry on from Brewstertown, mm-hmm. Tennessee, with Anna there in London? Hi, Terry. You're on the air. What's on your mind, Terry?
Thank you, Tom, and BBC. Yes, there's a lot of gross hypocrisy involved in all of this. The Brexit people are not compensating those who lost out because they pushed for and got the Brexit. Donald Trump could have created jobs in the U.S. for his silk ties with his name on them and the other industries. The Republicans are, their leaders are not living up and have not lived up to their standards that they're trying to dictate to others of the morals. So, Terry,
how would you explain to our British listeners today this election, why Trump is where he is, why Hillary Clinton is where she is?
Donald Trump has got a lot of celebrity. His jobs, his two main words on jobs is, you're fired. That's what he's most famous
for. On The Apprentice, the reality TV show here, yeah, okay.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton?
She's been working all of her adult life in politics and in doing things that actually help people in some ways that aren't being helped by other people.
Will you vote for one or the other of them, Terry?
Women. At this point in time, no, I cannot vote for either one of them.
Oh, okay. Anna, do you think you could persuade Terry to vote for Donald Trump?
That would be a bit of a... Hello, Terry, I'd like to say.
Well, hello,
hi.
Anna.
Yes, it would be very difficult to persuade you. I can understand that you have your differences, and it would be quite difficult to persuade you. But I actually think Donald Trump is absolutely fascinating. In fact, I wouldn't mind having a glass of wine with him. I think he's excellent. I really, really do.
Well, hurricanes, thank you very much. Tornadoes, and earthquakes are fascinating, and they are changed. Is that the kind of change you want?
Made me laugh.
Anne, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much, Anna.
Anna, thank you, my Anna. Apologies. Thank you, Anna. Anna called us on 0500-909-693.
Tom, who you got for us, Tom?
Terry, thanks from Tennessee. We've got Bonnie calling from Atlanta. Atlanta's busy today. Bonnie, you're on the air with the UK.
Hi, how
Bonnie.
Are you?
Good.
Hey.
Good. Listen, am I supposed to convince you to vote for Donald Trump? Is that it?
Do what you like, Bonnie. Who are you a Trump supporter? And if so, tell us.
That's my standpoint.
All right. Well, tell our British listeners why you are.
Okay, here it is. You know how Colombia just recently voted against the war down there?
They voted against the peace, actually. They voted against the peace deal.
I'm sorry. They voted against the peace down there after 50 years, and you know they want peace, right?
Well, they probably do, but a majority voted against the peace deal.
Let's put it this way. They don't want peace at any price.
Okay.
Because they thought that the deal was too easy on the guerrillas. That's what they thought. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
Okay,
Okay, so America is the same way. You know, we don't want World War III. But we don't want peace at any price. We don't want to be occupied, and we have a long history of being a great country. We don't want to be a country that is just occupied by someone else, or cowering in a corner.
Who's occupying the U.S., Bonnie, to your mind? What are you talking about?
Listen, just wait. ISIS, that's who. I was living in New York City on 9/11. I was up there on that day. And if you think these people don't think that they have a chance to conquer us, you are so wrong. And Hillary Clinton is Barack Obama's little sister. That's where we're going if she's elected. So that's my argument.
She says, look, I took out Osama bin Laden. What do you want with Barack Obama?
She didn't do that. George Bush did.
No, that was under the Obama administration. But just
he hunted him for 10 years. He hunted him for most of the 10 years.
Never got him. She says we did. Does that not persuade you?
No, it doesn't persuade me. We've given up so many arms. He's traded those hostages for whatever he traded them from, five hostages for, you know, whatever he did. I'm not a politician. I'm just telling you, if we continue down this same road, we are lost.
Okay.
Sarah and Hall, what have you got
there? We've got Tom, who's in Manchester, and he's 21 years old, and he's just come out of university. And Tom, good afternoon. You've just heard Bonnie waxing lyrical about how President Trump would be good for America. What would you like to say to Bonnie?
Well, to Bonnie, it would mainly be, we've seen what a pushback for change has done in the UK in the last few months with Brexit. And for someone like me who's watched that unravel and watched the pound slip to its weakest, I don't think there's a really a good position in politics to have a character like that in charge.
So you have no love, clearly, for Donald Trump?
I mean, he's a character. He's great on The Apprentice, but just not in charge of the White House.
Bonnie?
No, he's not. Your money is not more. Your life is not worth more than your money. He's talking about the pound being reduced. I'm talking about our lives being destroyed.
How many Americans kill each other, Bonnie, every year with guns? Many more than terrorist attacks, right? But do you want gun control?
Do I want gun control?
Yeah.
Do I want gun control? No, I don't want gun control.
Right, but many more Americans die at the hands of each other through the amount of guns in circulation than terrorist attacks.
That's unfortunate. We have that amendment in the Constitution. You know, that's very unfortunate. Believe me, my heart goes out to the people. You know, it's outrageous what goes on. But we do have a Constitution. What are you going to do here?
Well, it can be changed.
We've got somebody else on the line as well that would like to say their piece. It's Sean in Cumbria. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I think that Donald Trump is deeply malicious. And although I can definitely see that Hillary Clinton is flawed, I think she's the safer bet.
Why do you think she's the safer bet?
Because I don't think her flaws are fatal.
They were for the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi.
I know. In terms of world peace, I would far rather have Hillary Clinton. I know it's not my right and it's not my vote. But I think, yes, she's flawed. But we've been watching her for years and years and years, and we would see flaws in any human being after that length of time. I mean, I think that's fair.
Bonnie, what do you say in Atlanta?
Well, we've been watching her for years and years and years, too. You know, there was Whitewater right when Clinton got into office. It was just a disaster. And I don't know, she was judged not guilty in that, but there are questions about that, you know.
Well, not judged, not charged, not accused, none of that. But nevertheless, that yes, there was that whiff of scandal around. We're talking with UK voters and American voters about this election season. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you, Bonnie. Can I bring in Crystal, calling from New York, Plattsburgh,
please,
New York?
Do.
Hi, Crystal.
Crystal, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay.
Hi, Crystal.
My question is for the British folks. How do you feel about third-party voters, those that will vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or even write-in Bernie Sanders?
Wow. Okay. I'd be interested to know, actually, how many of our listeners are aware that there is anyone other than Clinton and Trump in this.
I mean, you have a different system. You've got a parliamentary system where you can have lots of parties who are really in there competing, and it's not a winner-take-all system like ours, so they can get representation in parliament and have a voice, whereas here, that is far less likely to happen. And it's frustrating a lot of Americans right now in this campaign season with Bernie Sanders out there and others, Gary Johnson, Libertarian, Jill Stein, Green Party. I don't know if your listeners are tuned into that.
Has Bernie Sanders, Tom, though, made sure that Hillary Clinton has perhaps shifted more to the left?
I think many would look at the campaign season and say, yes, he did exactly that, and now he has endorsed her. Nevertheless, a lot of his young voters have been slow to really come over to say that they will support her in the November 8th election, so because they wish they had some kind of ongoing representation of the view, and maybe they're not confident she'll bring it.
Well, Crystal, Tom, I don't know how much you rely on polls in the US when it comes to who's ahead and who's not, but the pollsters here in the UK have had a rubbish couple of years, let me tell you, both with the EU referendum. And
they didn't see the Brexit. Election. They didn't see Brexit coming, right?
No, and they didn't see the result at all of the 2015 general election. Steve has a point on that. Steve in Swindon.
Our time is very short, Steve. What have you got?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, I woke up on the morning of the Brexit result. I looked at it. I was so shocked, and I'm ashamed to say that I actually looked at my phone and I threw it against the wall because I was so angry and so mad at what's happened to this country. I'm scared it's going to happen in America. Are people in America that are going to vote, that say they're going to vote for Clinton, are they too embarrassed to say that they're going to vote for Trump? When it comes to the polling day, are they going to go in and make this guy president and just inflame the world?
Nobody knows. Crystal, what do you think? Will Americans come out and vote for Trump even if they're telling pollsters otherwise?
I think they will, only because you have so much scandal around Hillary right now. And I feel like with Trump, they're at least getting somewhat of the truth. It might not be a pretty truth, but it is somewhat truth. And I think there's so much animosity with this election that people will change their minds once they go into that booth. And I think that you'll see a larger percentage than I like going for Trump.
Well, the British got a big surprise with the Brexit. Who knows what we'll see here in the United States. I'm sure a lot of Clinton supporters tearing their hair out at that, Crystal. Trump supporters may take some comfort. Sarah, Nihal, this was really a terrific exercise. Really glad you all called and said, let's link up. This was terrific.
Let's do this. Yeah, let's do it again.
We should definitely do this again, Tom. You've got some great callers.
And so do you there in the UK with the BBC's Radio 5 Live's afternoon edition. Sarah Brett, Nihal Arthanaik, this was a privilege
Close.
And a pleasure. Sorry, Nihal, forgive us.
It's a difficult, it's Arthanaika, but it's a
Arthanaika.
Very difficult surname.
Love to have it good. Just right. Listen, our thanks to all of your callers. It's great talking with you there. Thank you so much for waking up today.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tom, and the best of luck to whoever wins.
Wouldn't you just love to be listening in to Tom's program as well for the next few weeks?
BBC On Point, signing off for now. This is Tom Ashbrook.